forgot. Okay, it's a good thing we have, you know, these screens here so that I can remember what I'm talking about. Anyway, Facing the Giants, the video, the movie Facing the Giants, this evening at 5 o'clock here in the auditorium. I want to encourage you to come and see that. I think Brian's going to have some popcorn, is that right? Brian will have popcorn, and so just come out and enjoy that great family movie. If you've never seen it before, it is a really, really great movie. So 5 o'clock here in the auditorium this evening, all right? Okay, we have been, over the last several weeks, talking about heaven in the real world. And the idea behind this is that, you know, God does not want us to have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy His power, okay? The power of heaven is available to us right now while we are living in this world. And I'm glad about that, okay? Yeah. And so the first part of our study, we were talking about hearing heaven's message and the message that God loves us and He wants us in relationship with Him. In this part two of this study, what we've been focusing on is sharing heaven's message. Once we understand how much heaven loves us, okay, we feel the power of heaven in our lives and God's love, then the next step is for us to be sharing that message with other people. Okay, so here we're talking about sharing this message, and we began this part by talking about becoming the hands of heaven and allowing God to use us in His work, in His service to those around us. We also then talked about reflecting the eyes of heaven. How do we see God, and how does He see us, and how do other people see us? Do we look down at them as if they don't measure up, or do we look at them with the eyes of heaven that says, I love you no matter what? Say, reflecting the eyes of heaven. Last week we were talking about speaking with the voice of heaven. Today we're going to conclude this part of our study in talking about demonstrating the heart of heaven. Okay, what is the heart of heaven really all about? And the first thing that we really have to do, if we're going to demonstrate the heart of heaven, is we have to recognize it for what it really is. And I'm kind of afraid that there's a lot of people who don't really understand what the heart of heaven is all about. Okay, so we need to understand and recognize that heaven has a heart, and that heart has been shared with us. There are two statements from heaven that we really need to understand if we're going to be able to reflect the heart of heaven in people's lives. We need to understand these two statements from heaven that it gives us. The first one is God is love. 1 John 4 verse 8. God is love. It doesn't say God has love, and it doesn't say God gives love. It says God is love. There's a big difference between having it, giving it, and being it, you say? And the Bible tells us God is love. It speaks of His very essence. His very nature is love. The second statement that we need to recognize for what it really is that God so loved the world. John chapter 3, verse 16. And again, as we look at this statement, God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son. God loved us that much that He gave, as we saw in the very first part of this study, the message from heaven is, He loved us so much and He saw the value that we have and He gave the best that He had to buy us back from sin. God so loved us. You say, now, what we need to understand is that these statements are not just theological statements about God. And I think a lot of people miss that point. They look and say, yeah, that great, the Bible says. But there's so much more than just theological statements or things to discuss about the nature of God. What these really are is a declaration about His character and His essence. The Greek word agape is the word that is used to describe God as love and the fact that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Agape. And agape has two major parts to it, you say, that we really need to understand. First of all, agape is unconditional. In other words, agape says, and when it says God is love, it's saying God is agape. And so what that means and what that says is that God loves us, He loves you unconditionally. So God didn't say to us, hey look, you go and get your act together, quit sinning, get everything straightened out in your life, and then come talk to me and we'll see about a relationship. Now, God loved us anyway. The Apostle Paul tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see? So agape, God's very nature, you see, is that He loves us unconditionally. You see? Now, the second part of this is that He always, always, always has our best interest in mind. You see, that's the other part of agape. It always has the other person's best interest in mind. So what that means is, whatever God is doing in your life, He's doing it because it is in your best interest. Now, stop and think about that a second. Sometimes we look at the things that are going on in our lives from time to time and we go, how is this in my best interest? You say, you ever wondered that? Y'all liars! I don't mean that literally. You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, how many times have you ever said, God, how is this working for me? We don't see how it may be in our best interest at the time, but God does. And the important point is to understand, God cannot do otherwise but to operate in your best interest. It is His nature, because He is love. If God, you see, were only giving love, and He only had love, then He could kind of pick and choose when He wanted to act in your best interest and when He didn't. But because His very nature is love, He cannot do otherwise. See? And it's important that we understand that if we are to really recognize the heart of heaven. God loves us so much that He gave the best that He had to redeem us from sin. And whatever He has going on in our lives, it is always what is best for us. Recognizing this as the heart of heaven, it'll help change the way that you look at your relationship with God. When you really get it, when you really understand the very nature of the heart of heaven and those two aspects of God Himself, it'll change your relationship with Him. And as we were talking about this morning, for a lot of folks, it'll move you from religion to a relationship. We said, God's not interested in religion, okay? He's not interested in religion. He wants a relationship with you. And understanding the very nature of God in this way, recognizing the heart of heaven, will help deepen your relationship with Him. And that's what He wants from every single one of us. Here's another way to look at it. Let's make a comparison, okay? You see, it's one side of it is this idea of living your life with God in it. Okay, how many of you like that idea? Okay, yeah. We like the idea of, I'm living my life with God. In other words, basically what that says is, God, I have these plans, I have these dreams, I have these goals, and I want you to be a part of all of that in my life. Right? And that sounds good, doesn't it? You say you're comfortable with that? Okay. Jesus is in my life. How many times have you ever said that? Oh, I got Jesus in my life. You see? That's not a bad thing, okay? Not a bad thing. But as we keep looking at this kind of an idea, here's part of where this is. God, I want a certain lifestyle in my life. And I want a certain career. And I want, you know, a certain relationship, kind of relationship in my life. And we have this list. And God, I expect you to provide all those things for me. And God, I'm going to have you in my life in all those things. You see, and we feel really good about that. We feel real religious about that, don't we? Because we got God in our life. A lot of people kind of look at it this way. a big piece of my heart is in heaven. Doesn't that sound real religious? Real good? We feel good about that, don't we? But here's the problem. God doesn't want a big piece of your heart. He wants the whole thing.
That's right.
You see?
Amen.
He's not satisfied with having a part and you be having him be a part of your life. Okay? So in other words, you get to pick and choose which parts he's going to be in and which parts he's not. And isn't that what we do? You say? Well, God, I want you, you know, God is a big part of my life, and so he's all a part of this part of my life, but this part over here, well, I don't let him in that part. And we kind of partition off our life and we allow God into some parts and not into other parts. And we say, we feel good about that because God is a part of my life. That God is a big part of my life. No. He wants it all. He is a jealous God, the Bible describes him as. And he wants all of our heart, not just part of it. Now, contrast that kind of an idea that, you know, I've got a life and I want God to be a part of my life with living God's life with you in it. See the difference? You see? In other words, it's being able to say, God, you have a life and I want to be in it, rather than saying, God, I have a life and I want you in it. Who's in charge, you see, of your life? And then that kind of an approach and an attitude allows us to say, look, my life hasn't turned out the way I really wanted it to and the way I expected it to, but it's turned out exactly the way God wants it to, because it belongs to Him anyway. And we cease really thinking so much about our life, and we start focusing more on God's life, you see, and how we fit into His plans, rather than how He fits into ours. God wants to be and to have all of our heart and all of our life, not just the parts we want to give to Him. Jesus told His disciples this, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow him. Deny himself. So we really need to recognize the heart of heaven and being able to understand what the heart is. The essence of God is love. See? But God is a jealous God. He wants all of us. So when we recognize that, what we need to do is we need to reserve the heart of heaven. Now, I think probably most of us in here know what reserving a table at a restaurant is, right? If you don't reserve the restaurant, the table at some place, you're not getting in, right? And you know, so you call ahead and you make your reservation, and what's the point, what's the purpose of the reservation? So that when you arrive at the time you told them you were going to be there, your table is going to be available, right? Right? Right. Okay. Well, here's the thing. We need to make a reservation for God, you see, to be able to have to have the throne, the place in our heart. We have to reserve that for Him. Because you see, when you make a reservation, then you're not letting anything else take its place. Just like, you know, when you make the reservation at the restaurant, nobody else gets your table, right? You make a reservation for God in your heart, nobody or nothing else gets to take His place. It's kind of like, you know, you have a sign across your heart that says reserved for Jesus. I couldn't find that graphic. But that's what it's about, you see, reserved. And nothing else and no one else gets to take that place, you see. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Colossians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. He says, about Jesus, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Okay? And He is the head of the body, which is the church. Okay? He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in how much?
In
everything. Okay? Again, not just in part of it. Not just in the parts that I want Him to have supremacy in, but in everything He might have the supremacy. Okay? And when I am living my life in God's life, you say, then He has the supremacy. And what that's saying is that literally He has first place. That's what the word preeminence means, or supremacy, first place. And so what we're saying is that God has first place on the throne of my heart. Okay? Nobody else and nothing else is allowed to take up residence there. Okay? We've talked about this before, and here's a neat kind of a way to remember that. The main thing is Jesus, right? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. When you keep the main thing, nothing else is going to be able to mess up what's going on in your life. You see? So what is the main thing that we have to do? We need to keep the main thing. That He might have the preeminence or the supremacy in our life. Nothing else gets to sit on the throne of our hearts. Because that's reserved for Him. We need to reserve, you say, the heart of heaven. We reserve that for Him and Him alone. In the text that was read for us as we began this morning, Luke chapter 11, verse 42, Jesus is really dealing with and facing the religious leaders of His day, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the folks that had all these rules and all these regulations, and they were putting all this stuff on the people. But oftentimes they themselves weren't even keeping the rules. They couldn't keep the rules. And so Jesus confronts them. And one of the things that He tells them and confronts them about is this passage right here. He says, "Woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe of your mint and your rue and every kind of garden herb. But look what He says, yet you disregard justice and the love of God." Basically what He's talking about here is He's saying that you're keeping all the rules, but you're neglecting people. You're taking care of all these little details, but you're neglecting the most important thing, and that's justice and the love of God. If we get so caught up in the process, then what's happening is we start to neglect the purpose. You see? And then we lose the essence of the heart of heaven. And it's really easy to get caught up in, I've got to make sure I follow the rules. I've got to follow the rules. I've got to follow the rules. The rules are important. Certainly enough passage, and we've studied about it enough time to emphasize the importance that God places on us obeying His will. But we have to be careful that we don't place that above and beyond love. Okay? A lot of people in churches, what happens is in the church we tend to focus on the main thing becomes a focus on having the right doctrines. You see? And the right procedures. Make sure that we have all the right things down. We make sure we know this is exactly what the Bible says, and we're doing exactly the way the Bible says to do it. We're following all the rules. Make sure we got it all down right. And they have a love and a devotion to knowing the Bible. The problem is, they haven't gotten to know the author. There's a big difference between those two. It doesn't do a whole lot of good to know everything that the Bible says and be able to quote a book, chapter, and verse if you don't know the one who wrote it.
Amen.
Because it'll be up here, but it won't be here. And so we won't be able to experience and then share the heart of heaven. Knowing the Bible is one thing, but knowing the author is completely another thing. Okay? Now, finally, let's talk about representing the heart of heaven. When we realize, we recognize what the heart of heaven is really all about, and the essence of Almighty God is to love us unconditionally. And to always have our best interest in mind, you see. And we reserve a place in our heart for Him. That throne is His. And nothing else gets to take place. We make that reservation for Him. And we live His life, not ours. Then the result of that is then sharing the heart heart of heaven with other people. You see, and that's what this is all about. It's taking the heart of heaven to those who are hurting. And, you know, I don't think there's any shortage of hurting people out here in the world, are there? So, I don't think we have to stand in long lines, you know, like sometimes we have to do at the gas station in order to find hurting people. There's a lot of them out there. There are people that need to hear about and to feel the heart of heaven in their lives. And we are the ones who can share that, the heart of heaven. See? We bring that heart of heaven to people in relationships that we have with one another. That's how it happens. See? As we share God's love with one another, we're sharing the heart of heaven. We're representing the heart of heaven to the world that is all around us. You see? Jesus was asked on one occasion, of all the commandments that are out there, Jesus, what's the number one commandment? You say, what's the greatest commandment of all? And then, you know, back in their day, there were a lot of commandments. Okay, it weren't just 10, all right? The 10 was the basic foundation. But by the time Jesus came around, there were so many rules, there were so many traditions, there were so many things that were tacked onto the laws, you see, they couldn't keep up with them. And so, you know, if you think about it that way, that's a legitimate question, isn't it? You know, well, we got all these rules. Oh, you know, can you narrow it down for us a little bit? What's the greatest commandment of all of them? And this is what he said. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You see? And the second is like unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, all the law and the prophets are summed up in these two commandments. Okay? This is the essence of the heart of heaven that we need to be sharing with the world. Okay? It is to love God with everything. You say, in you, your whole being. In other words, as we said earlier, put Him first. He gets first place in your life. Okay? And second unto it, it is loving your neighbor as yourself, is that agape. It is loving other people unconditionally. And always having their best interest in mind. In whatever you do with them and with you. Okay? It is sharing and representing the heart of heaven. I'm going to make me a pair of shoes like this. Because, okay? You know, this is really what it's all about. And what happens is that we reveal or we represent the heart of heaven by the way that we live in relationship to one another. We, in other words, we keep the first commandment by how we keep the second. Another way to look at it. See? When we share the heart of heaven with one another, with other people in our lives, then we are demonstrating that God owns all of us. See? Not just a part. Okay? The heart of heaven, then, is best represented when we love other people. Unconditionally. And always doing what is in their best interest. So, representing the heart of heaven, the world that is hurting, the world that is struggling, the world that is lost. That's our mission. Now, I've been doing this a long time, and I don't know how many people we have in this room right now. There's a lot of you I don't know. A lot of you I've never seen before. Some of you are visitors the first time here. So I don't know what's going on in people's lives. But I know that we got this many people in this room. There's some hurting folks here. Okay? And I'm not just talking about the C family over here. We know the struggles that they're facing. But we live in a hurting world. The message I want you to take away from this morning is we want to share the heart of heaven to help you with whatever you're hurting. Okay. That's what it's about. We can't help you. We can't help the hurt that you have with the heart of heaven unless you let us know what's hurting. So So we offer an opportunity. It's an invitation for you to come and to let us know. Say, hey, I need some prayers with this. I need some help with this. I need some guidance, some wisdom, some forgiveness. This is what I need because I'm hurting here. And that's what we want to be able to do, is to help with whatever the hurts are that you're feeling. We also want to be able to help anyone who's here this morning that has not yet given your life to Christ. If you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity to be a Christian.